verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. What I love about Proverbs is a book of this and that. You've got wisdom personified as a woman, and then you have the strange woman. You have the wise, and you have the foolish. And then with them are their other two buddies that are buddies to the fool, and that is the simple and the scorner. As a matter of fact, that will be the topic of our message this morning. Proverbs 1 verse 20 says, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my whole words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said at not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." What we see are three. You've got your simple, you got your scorner, and you got your fool. Each one presented not just with knowledge, but wisdom. What's wisdom again? Wisdom is knowledge in action. I know that the stove is hot, so that's my knowledge. Wisdom is not putting your hand on it. I know there is a God. I look up into the heavens, and they do declare that there is a God. I look into the mountainsides, and I see God's work. I look not just see His work, but I see the devastation that came from the flood the last time He was that angry at us. We see His markings. I see it in the complexity of animals. I was watching a thing on a little info thing. I like to watch little animal videos with Melody. And this one was the anglerfish, and we didn't finish this one. But you know how anglerfish make baby anglerfish? The male is tiny, the female is big. Now, anglerfish is one of the ugliest things on creation. That's why God put it all the way at the bottom of the ocean so you wouldn't have to look at it. And what that male does is it's a little guppy-sized thing compared to the mama. And it attaches itself and then becomes almost completely dissolved into her. And she just kind of uses his genetic material to produce eggs. Now, can someone who's good at math, I'm terrible at math, somebody who's good at math work out the sheer number of breeding accidents that must take place before that happens? How about the giraffe? I've used the giraffe before, right? The first time its neck got long enough for the blood to rush down to its head and pop its brain. What is the sheer number of accidents that must take place? And then, what in the animal is responsible for saying, you know what we need? We need little capillaries. So that the next generation comes out with these little cut-off things that stopped the blood from rushing down to my head and popping my brain. I look into the complexity of the animals and I say, there must be a God. I look at the detail and the minute things that take place, the minute workings of the body. And I go, how many accidents, how many adaptations, how many things must have taken place in order for something like this to have happened on its own? I've been confronted so often by atheists. Well, show me your God. And I said, well, show me where life comes from nothing. See, I can't show you my God any more than you could show me yours. The only thing is that there's far more evidence for mine than there is for yours. Well, look at the bone structure. Hey, you know what? Isn't it weird how a lot of buildings have support structures on the inside? How many buildings, for those of you who build, how many buildings have load-bearing walls? See, buildings create buildings. Buildings evolve from buildings. No. Buildings have a creator who uses the same process that know that that process works. Something's got to hold everything else up, right? So, well, the skeletal structure. Yeah, the building blocks look the same. Why? Same creator. When we were a kid, when we were kids, we used to have Eric Carle. Back when Eric Carle books, Hungry Caterpillar, you know, those brightly colored books that he would write. You would look at the cover and you go, "That is an Eric Carle book." It have several colors in the sun, things like that. Beautiful, beautiful work, but it was very distinct to him. We keep pointing to very distinct things to the builder, and we go, "Oh, it was an accident." My goodness, how many times does a buffalo have to crawl into the water before it becomes a manatee? Or how many times does the manatee have to roll out onto the beach before it becomes a buffalo? I see things and I say, there's God. Down to how plants grow. Right? It's springtime, I love watching these things. Down to how the plants grow. Well, you see, it is a very simple process, this, that. Many people can still list all the parts of a plant cell. And I look over at that and I say, isn't God wonderful? How does it decide what color to be? What's in its genetic makeup? How'd the first one decide what color to be? And when did it decide to be a different color? When did it decide to change and evolve? And how does a thing decide to evolve? Right, I've longed all my life that I would be taller. Does that mean that my kids are going to gain an extra millimeter or centimeter because of my longing? And what are those animals that don't have the intelligence to long for anything? How do they change? God is there. If I know there is a God, then I know that He'd have something to say to me. I'd say He'd have a way for me to live, and He'd care about my day to day, and we see that in the Word of God. But when I look at the Word of God, I find some disturbing news. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We see there that those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are for the lake of fire. Disturbing things. And I sit there and I say, well, what then? What then is the difference? What must I do? Why am I a sinner? Because not only do I do things that God says don't do, but I desire, I have it within my nature to do the things I'm not supposed to do. And if you're sitting here today believing yourself to be the height of morality, I promise you, you ain't seen it. Well, I'm a pretty good person. Pretty good, don't cut it. Because I guarantee if we sussed out a few things about you, you'd be embarrassed to have hit the open air, I promise. And that's true about every single last one of us. See, God is not just the person who takes the presentation. God is not just the person who views you at face value. He is the God who knows your hearts. And He can see the innermost workings of your mind. And He knows you in the way that would terrify you for anybody else to know you. What if your boss knew every thought you had about work? For those of you that are retired, you might not care. But what if in the moment, all right, I want you to go do this. Now, some of us, we're born without a filter. Your boss already knows what you're thinking. You probably had a few jobs. But some, man, if that came out, why don't you do it yourself? Man, I'm starting to think it's about time. Get yourself in trouble. Within us is the desire for chaos. Within us is the desire to give in to our sinful nature, to do the wrong thing. So now I know because of my innermost workings, because of my desires, because of my impulse, I deserve a place called hell. Because after all, that's what we do with things that don't meet up to expectations. But the sad part of it is, none of us meet up to expectations. So now what do we do? God sent his son to die on the cross, to pay the penalty of our sins. For the wages of sin is death, so somebody had to die that didn't deserve to. Right? Somebody needed to. And he came, he lived that perfect life. Not a negative word, not a sinful thought, not a terrible action. Nobody got hurt because of him. Nobody got wounded because of him. He didn't traumatize anybody. He didn't give anybody a bad day that didn't deserve the bad day. Well, what does that mean? Well, I think about those people that were ripping people off at the temple. They had a bad day. They deserved it. Didn't they? I think there's people out there today. There's widows out there. They can barely afford groceries and their medication. They're picking one or the other. But their preacher's hitting the pulpit going, if you don't give at least $1,000 this month, what are you? And those ladies are bankrupting themselves. I think those preachers deserve a bad day, don't you? That's the same thing those guys were doing down there at the market. I think Christ gave the Pharisees a few bad days because they like to twist religion so people would worship them. We see that today. Where instead of lifting up Bible verses, we're lifting up the names of men. And there are preachers and pastors and young people who want their names listed among the MacArthurs and the other guys like them. Lift my name up there. Let me be seen as a deep theologian, please. I think those people deserve to have a bad day. Because we ain't got nothing but the book. But he didn't do anything. He didn't hurt anybody. He didn't cause any damage. What he did instead was live that perfect life and died on the cross for our sins. Now we get back to our text. When we preach these things, when we say these things, you're going to run across the simple. Now what is the simple? Now the simple is not just somebody. When we say simple, we mean somebody who, not quite ignorant, but that other word I don't let the kids use. You know, you following me? Stupid. Now, that's not very nice. Well, now, hold on. Here's the thing. There's the ignorant. What does the word ignorant mean? Ignorant means you don't know. Right? Xander over there, he can ride a bike. He can't drive a car. He's ignorant in how to drive a car. Why? Because he's 11. Right? Now, sure, I could take him out to a field like some of you learned and give him the work at that. I have him drive the tractor. We're building him up to it. But right now, he doesn't know. And that's fine. Right? We wouldn't expect a child to know all these things. Well, that's why we just came up towards the end of the school year here. A lot of people are taking exams. Most of them have already taken their exams. Right? That's why they put the exams at the end of the year. You don't know the stuff yet. And that's fine. That's why you show up to class. But the stupid... Let's look at how the simple is described again in this verse. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? These are the people who are simple on purpose. Well, isn't all religion the same? No. Have you ever looked into it? No. Why not? It's not something I want to do. What they do is they develop a frame of mind on how life works. They get themselves nice and comfortable in that frame of mind. And they just go with it. And every time religion is brought up, they change the channel. Whether it's in a conversation with somebody on the TV, they'll open that same drawer in the hotel room, find the Gideon Bible, and leave it there. Why? They don't want to know. Because if I knew... I might be wrong. And oh, the curse of having to admit you're wrong. Because ain't we all perfect? Or shouldn't we be rushing for that height of intelligence of, well, if I find out I'm wrong, then I'm not the best person on earth. Guess what? You're not. I don't know who holds the election on those things, but I've never seen anybody voted most intelligent, most bestest person on earth. Doesn't happen. Not even Life magazine gets it right. Now, I don't want to learn. Come to church. I don't want to go to church. Why? I don't need any of that. You do, but you don't want it. Because you might find out something you don't like. I've invited people, you know, we'll go knock on doors and People come to the door. Well, I go down to this church, that church, First Self-Righteous Church of the Refrigerator over there. That's where we go. Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what, if you'd ever like to come visit us, we're here. You know, I meet people around here. Where do you go to church? Well, we go down to Frankenmuth. That's a long way to go. If ever the weather's stormy, you want some place to stay, here you go. By the way, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Now, listen, I already told you I go to... We're afraid of the conversation. I had somebody ask me one time, they got mad. Now, hold on, I don't mind. I don't mean that as an offensive question to ask me. Do you know you're going to heaven when you die? I do, and it's not by my merit, not by my decision. It is because God, in His infinite mercy, sent down His Son to die on the cross for my sins, and by repenting of my sins and trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I know that there's a reward waiting for me that I never earned. That's how I know, and I'm not offended to tell you. I'm glad to say it, and I'm glad to hear it. I've told you, a few people have given me the gospel since I've been saved. And I'll be honest with you, if they get a good steam going, you know, you have people that just say everything at once because they know you're about to shut them down so they don't let you speak. I let them go. Go ahead. Well, why'd you let me get through that whole thing? Because I love to hear the old story. I love hearing the old story. I hope I never make anybody feel foolish or that I'm playing with them. I'm not. Tell me the old story. But what of those who say, I will not speak of it. I don't want to talk about it. It's a private thing. They are the simple wanting to be simple. I have been giving my money to this church and attending it every Easter and Christmas since I was a boy. Don't tell me I'm wrong. I buried my mother, my brother, my grandmother, all of my uncle's father and grandpa at that church. Don't tell me their way was wrong. They desire to be simple. And I hope that in what I just said, I provide the justification for why they are afraid. And many of us, we are the same way. Have you ever studied the Bible like this? Well, no. Well, I'm a Baptist church member. I've sat under a lot of great pastors. I don't need to study like that. Oh, yes, you do. Why are you fearful? You're fearful because you've got some practices around the yard you don't want to change. That's why. The simple desire to be simple for fear of what's on the other side. And let's call her what it is. It is easy to be simple, isn't it? It's easy. I don't have to study to be simple. I just have to be satisfied. I don't have to reach a certain level of understanding. I just have to be happy with the way I'm seeing things. I don't need a proper perspective. I just need a comfortable one. And it takes minimal effort and minimal change, and you feel as though you've won. Tell me very little, the simple says. Let me form a shallow conclusion, the simple say. Do not disturb my lifestyle. Because the moment I find out I'm wrong, I have to change. And morally and spiritually, we become like those people who, before going out shopping, refuse to check their bank account for fear that it might give them a bad day. Somebody was coming in there having trouble making up the rent. They're like, now that I paid my rent, I'm going shopping. And I go, well, hey. Hey, that's wonderful. She goes, I don't know how much is in there, but I'm not going to check. I'm just going to go. And I thought that was one of the most profound statements of the human condition I have ever heard. You having trouble? Uh-huh. You going to go out there and you're going to compound the trouble? Uh-huh. You know, you don't have to call the bank anymore. We were getting that car to go down to Kentucky. And there was a lady there, her phone died. And they're like, well, how am I supposed to check my bank account to see if I can rent this vehicle? My phone died. And I'm like, well, you could always just call the bank. Remember back when you used to have to call the bank when you'd be out of sorts with your checkbook? You know, just call the bank.
Oh.
She got about halfway through those automated button pushers. I just heard boop, 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 boop. It's like she was playing Tetris over there, just going at that keyboard. Finally, she hung up. She was done. Some people were terrified to check certain things. Might not be your bank account. Maybe it's your doctor. Honey, that's kind of disturbing things that's going on there. Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Anybody here, you do that? I bet you do. I'll ask your wife. We do. Why? Because that doctor's going to tell me I need to slow down, and I ain't got time. Right? We'll sit there. We'll glaze over during the service. What's he talking on? Oh, he's talking on tithing. Better check out. Oh, he's talking on sin again. Better check out. Now, how do I know that? Because I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, everybody's a sinner. We come on. We all know what the flesh wants. We've all fought it one way or the other. How do you know? Because that's what sin does. We don't want it. It is against our nature. Don't listen to it. That's why people give you the ugly faces when you start talking about it. Because it's like bright sunlight in the middle of the night. Right? Sit there, it's like having somebody just yank the light on while you're sitting there trying to sleep. Aye! That's the face they're making. That's the face you made. That's the face you're going to make again one day when confronted with your sin. We don't like to hear it. It's like stepping on the scale over at the doctor's. We don't want to know. The simple refuses to hear. In this that we're reading, we see that it is a choice. They love the simplicity. And the scorners delight in their scorning. Oh, they love it. They put on their great big coat of religious jokes that they picked up from cartoons that swear, and they put it on. And they have offensive and childish things to say about God. They have offensive and childish things to say about Christians. And they watch the Christians. Well, the reason why I don't go to church is y'all are just a bunch of hypocrites. Why would God have people like that? Look at these people. Look at them. And these people that cuss and swear and later get taken off of the entertainment circle because they were raping and molesting people. They look down at Christians going, is that a swear word you just said? You want to talk about hypocrites? Let's go to Hollywood. They put on one face and they act like the devil behind closed doors. And we've seen enough. There's enough documentaries right now to prove what preachers were preaching 60 years ago. These people are demons. These people are possessed. These people are enthralled. These people are wicked. And yet when they sit there and say something off or mean about the Bible or about God, everybody goes, oh, that's a really good point. They're really intelligent. Come on. Talked to a young man recently, brought up the Joe Rogan podcast. Apparently he's an atheist of some flavor or another. Atheist, agnostic, something like that. Well, he made a really good point about religion. You mean to tell me that guy who couldn't hack it in the acting industry, who scarce could make it in the comedy industry, who never made it as a fighter but sits on the sidelines making comments and sits in a room smoking dope, is showing some signs of intelligence? Now that's the real wonder. That's the real wonder. Who do we base these things on? I'll tell you what they are. They're so stuck on themselves that logic and wisdom escapes them. We could sit there and we could point to all the things I opened the message with, the complexity of the animals, the beauty of space, the finiteness of man compared to the power and success and blessings and things that God puts into our lives. coincidence after coincidence, grace upon those being burned at the stake. They don't understand it. They don't see it. They don't want to see it. And they think that perchance by going to hell, they could spite God. You ever hear that? If I'm in hell, I'll be in good company. There won't be no company. There won't be no joy. There won't be any happiness. Well, I'll party up with... There won't be anything to drink for you to party. There won't be anything for you to lay your hands on. A lake of fire is a lake, and it's fire. I hate to try to boil that down to the simplistic of terms, but that is what it is. Well, how is it that it's going to be like this lake of fire? And I hear people say, I'll go to hell, I'm fine with that. I didn't want to be around God anyway. And they spew these blasphemies. And they get the young kids to go, you're edgy and fun, you're cool. And you drag them along with you in a life of debauchery. Oh, but we love them. We pay to go see their shows. We rent their stuff. We put their stuff on our mugs and our t-shirts. And man, isn't it fun? Isn't it interesting? Isn't it cool to follow the scorner? When we look at them, you see a joy in what they're doing. Proverbs 22, verse 10. Proverbs 22, verse 10. It says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. That is the earmarks. That is the handiwork of the scorner. You want to take it out of the religious, you can't take anything out of the religious circle. God encompasses all things. But if you want to take it to the workplace, what is the contentious person or what is the scorner at the workplace? Hey, listen, these are the 10 things we're doing today. Oh no, we're only going to be able to do 8. I can't believe they're asking for 10. There's that person that, hey, how's it going today? Just another day in prison. Well, hey, how's everything going with your wife? Nag, 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 nag. They eat nothing they're happy with. They fight against everything. Anything that could have power, anything that could have authority, anything that sheds light on their wrongdoings, they will go to war with, and they will blow their own resources. They will destroy themselves to not have to deal with anything else. They're that person, well, what happened? Well, I went in there and my boss tried to get me to do something I didn't think was my job, and I yelled at him and I said these words to him and I committed all manner of atrocities. They would probably get me brought up for church discipline. Oh, well, he is a boss, so he was probably wrong. And it's the same battle they had with that boss, same battle they had with that boss, same battle they had with that boss, same battle they had with their teachers, same battle they had with their mama, same battle they had with their daddy. They're just at war. Was that phrase we used to use? A rebel without a cause. If you say A, they're going to scream B in your face. How do we get rid of contentions? You can't fix them. You can't pacify them. You can't do anything. We were trying to figure out what we were going to do over at the office for when COVID hit, trying to match what the governor wanted us to do and that whole ball of wax. Try to make things compliant. And I was sitting there with the crew and I said, well, what if we did this? And the guy goes, I don't think that's a good idea. I said, all right, well, what do you think? Well, I think we ought to do this. Okay, let's do that. Well, see, you're not thinking. All right. That's a contentious person. That's a scorner. That the moment somebody of authority says anything, and you could agree with a scorner and they'll get mad. You could apologize to a scorner and they'll get ugly. A scorner is one who rejects, right? Almost like those, what they call it, hydrophobic things, just beads the water right off. You could throw wisdom at them all day, and it just beads right off, right? Well, what's going on right now? Oh, man, my leg, having a hard time putting any weight on it. Well, what happened? I fell off my bicycle and I heard a snappy sound. And now that bottom part just dangles. You ever think of seeing a doctor for that? No. What's a doctor know? You know? I just prop it up at night when I sleep. What's going on? You know, we got somebody around here now. Been coming up right after services. You guys got any money? Is there any money you can have? My grandma died. And then when my grandma died, she fell on my mom and broke my mom's hip. And then just as I was getting my mom up, I got fired. You know, anything you guys can do to help? Oh, okay, well, have you considered this? No, just need that. Well, hey, how about you come by a church? Brother Cummins told me that. Why don't you come by church tonight? We'll see what we can do. Isn't it funny how they never walk in the doors? Why? Don't tell me what I need to change. Just keep solving the problem for me. The scorner, the only way to deal with someone who fusses and fights with every ounce of wisdom, the best way is to stop them. The best way is to remove them. Could you imagine being one who the only way to fix you is to get you out of the way? That's a hard way to live. What can I do to help? The best thing you could do to help is stay all the way out of the way. What can I help with this? Remember that last time when you blew the whole thing up because of your temper, because the jelly donut touched the last sprinkled donut and you lost your mind? Well, no. The best thing you could do is to get out of here. That's it. You know, we put so much into trying to keep millennials into the workforce. Well, we don't want to offend them. They're so easily offendable. First of all, I take that as an offense. That hurts my feelings. Number two, as a joke, you'll get that when you're eating lunch. Number two, maybe it's not about trying to get people to be comfortable no matter what their problems are. Maybe the answer is to help people get better at what they're stumbling with. See, that was always the curse of the scorner. The curse of the scorner is, without a job, you've got no money. Without family, you've got no people. Without friends, you've got no company. And the struggling would either weed you out or tune you up. There'll be many people who sit in a church because they were invited. And that preacher will get up. He'll beat the pulpit. He'll tell them the truth. And what will they do? Grab your Bibles again. This time we're going to go to chapter 21 and verse 24. What will that scorner do? I've written down the wrong verse. 21:24. I'm in 20. Thank you. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. You tell a scorner that they're lost and they're dying and they're going to hell. And unlike the simple, they'll not just plug their ears, they'll tell a joke. They'll be proud. They will laugh at you. That's what that word haughty means. You know what that pride and haughty laughter is, right? When I think of proud and haughty, I think of Hillary Clinton. I'm not trying to get political on a Sunday morning. But man, she just imbues it. Proud and haughty. She's too quick to laugh. Now, I'm not saying that there are other politicians more adjusted. Sometimes people think that if I put down one, that means I'm in favor of... No, you see proud and haughty a lot in this world. You see it a lot. But if anybody could sit there and be so full of themselves that they laugh at any contrary information, man, she does it to a T. Even rocks back a little bit when she laughs, like a cartoon villain. Just ha 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 ha. Could you consider coming to church? Church. Or are these grand philosophers, right? Religion is just the sedative to a simple mind, right? Whatever that quote is. You must be silly. You must be stupid. By the way, there's a Republican running who once upon a time, despite his Bible waving and his Christian loving, once said himself on TV that Christianity is for stupid people. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, if I've just ripped off a band, I apologize, but that is what these people are. It's what these people are. Every time we vote for Democrat or Republican, it's do I want it on the left hand? Do I want a left hand or do I want a right hand? It's really what it is. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm voting Republican this year, but you understand what I'm saying. Proud and haughty! Christianity's for stupid people. I don't need church. I'm smart. Do you know how old I am? Do you know how smart I am? I have an IQ of whatever's an impressive IQ. Don't you know who I am? I'm a student of this person, of Nietzsche, of Darwin. I'm a student of grand philosophies. I don't need religion. Until the calamity comes, go ask Sigmund Freud. He's just going to make a weird innuendo about your mom. That's what he's going to do. Let's go ask Darwin. His most repeated words in his book was, "One could suppose." The scorner likes to joke. The scorner is slow to understand. And what do we see on the other hand? The other hand, we have the fool that hates knowledge. Now, nobody here, what that I know of, and on earth, would ever say, "I hate knowledge." They just hate using it. You following me? I love a lot of things in this world that I hate using. Right? I love health insurance. I hate using their 1-800 line. Hate it. Well, do you want the problem solved? Yeah, so you got to call the number. Yeah, and then they're going to put you on hold for 4.5 hours. Yeah, and then they're going to hang up on you. You're going to have to start all over again. Yeah, but if you want to fix the problem, that's what you got to do. I hate it! But we do it anyway. Why? Because it's what fixes the problem. And sometimes you got to do it 3 or 4 times, right, brother? You got to do it 3 or 4 times just to get the problem fixed. We were being double charged for dental and vision for me. And I had to fix that thing 2, 3, maybe 4 times. By the time they got the things, they messed it all the way up. And I'm just on the phone. But that's how you fix the problem, right? Hey, how is it that you can fix the wrongs going on in your life? You got to repent of sin. Well, I don't like that. You mean I got to stop? Can't you just give me a pill? Can't you just give me money? Can't you just give me a better opportunity? Can't you just give me things to make this better? No. No. You ask all the billionaires on earth how happy they are. They ain't happy. Why? Because they lack the fundamental things. The money don't make them happy or unhappy. That's the point I'm trying to get at. We go out. Well, who was it that just bought that brand new yacht? They were showing it off. One of these billionaires showing off their brand new yacht. Without the Lord, what good is it? Hey, that ain't going to make you happy. It ain't going to make you sad. I'd love to call shotgun on the thing. That'd be fun. Don't get me wrong. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? But it's not going to do anything for your life. You need the Lord. Oh, no. See, a fool isn't just somebody who's ignorant. A fool isn't somebody who is simple. A fool is somebody who knows but doesn't do. They are these people. Do you believe in God? Yes, I do. Do you believe that this is His Word? Yes, I do. Do you read where it says about salvation? Absolutely. Do you read where it says about hell? Yes. So what are you going to do? Nothing. Kind of happy with what I got going on right now. Or as the preachers will preach to those who are elect, for those who are saved, stop doing this. Yes, amen. Amen. And then later, honey, are we going to stop doing that? No, we're not. There are those who know and refuse to do anything about it. And then what becomes of this situation? What then happens? Going back to our text, Proverbs 1. Mm-hmm. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. God is pouring it out. Now, wisdom here is personified as a woman speaking. This is wisdom, again, with I can't remember the word for it, but we are pretending that wisdom is a living, breathing human being. This is an illustration of what wisdom is. You can find wisdom in your grandpa. You can find wisdom in your grandma. You can find wisdom in mom and dad and your pastor at the church and the Word of God. That Word of God's everywhere. It cries out to you. Read me. Listen to me. Obey me. We have wisdom everywhere. And when we turn it down, when we refuse to listen to it, we get verse 25, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. That's not very nice. That's not very nice for a humanized version of wisdom to laugh at us. You know what that laughter is? Again, since this is just an illustration, it's when you look like a fool in public because you are one. You ever be stuck? You ever find yourself stuck like that? You look like a fool because you were one. Because you refused to listen to wisdom. You did whatever you wanted. You pushed it aside. You scorned at it. You refused to hear it because you loved simplicity. Or maybe you knew it and you just thought you knew better. And it bit you right on the nose. The thing that we did to improve ourselves, to impress other people with ourselves, ends up laughing us to scorn. Well, why would you do that? Well, I thought this and I thought that. But didn't I tell you 10 times that this is the way it would turn out? Well, yeah, but I thought because I'm special, I'd be the one to roll the dice differently. Let me tell you this. If you plant a tomato, what's going to grow? Tomatoes. So if you plant 17 rows of tomatoes, but instead of selling tomatoes, you tell everyone that you've got a bunch of corn coming in, and you're surprised that it's tomatoes, you deserve to be laughed at. Not that I'm saying it's a polite thing to do, but you asked for it, didn't you? You knew what you put in the ground, right? From that devotion this morning, you know what you sowed. You thought that maybe your green thumb would change it? That's an old wives' tale. Things are a series of conditions, rules, and laws set down by God. You no sooner grow a tomato, grow corn from a tomato seed than you could leap off this building and fly. God has laws. God has rules. Neither you obey them and it works out, or you disobey them and it blows up in your face. But we don't get to sit there and say, well, I am the special one. That's for pop culture and science fiction, folks. You must put in the work. You must do what is right. You must act with wisdom. What happens? Calamity. Calamity happens. When one is presented with the gospel and they reject it, calamity takes place. Calamity in our lives. Calamity in our eternity. Now, the calamity in our lives is exactly what wisdom is saying here, right? It's exactly what is trying to be passed down to this young man. It'll embarrass you. It'll hurt you. It'll cause strife in your life. You'll have trouble. You'll have issues. Things will blow up in your face if you choose to be simple, if you love being a fool, or if you're just getting your delight in being a scorner or a scoffer. You're going to mess yourself up and it's going to embarrass you. But what is the calamity for their eternity? Hell. And it says there that at this particular point, there's nothing that can be done. Now, this isn't specifically speaking of salvation. I'm just saying this applies. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Again, not specifically speaking of eternity, but of fits. By the time the one who laughs and says there is no God realizes they were wrong, the flames will have already started. And there will be no recourse. There will be no let's hit pause and give me a do-over. Every time you laughed, every time you jeered, every time you blew somebody off your porch, every time you threatened someone, every time you sat there and you had a negative thing to say about God, it'll stick. And all throughout eternity, I believe it'll ring in the minds of those who suffer the times they said, I don't need God. I don't need Him. And they will get exactly what they've craved. Life without Him. They'll get exactly what they asked for. Don't tell me I'm wrong, I'm happy! Fine, go where people who are never wrong go. And you'll never hear of righteousness, and you'll never hear of forgiveness, and you'll never hear of those things that offended you so deeply. Go and eat what you've sown. Now, if that sits bad with you, it sits bad with me, I'm telling you. Because just as sure as I am that I was saved, I know that there are still moments in my life where God has presented something to me and I've not handled it the way that I should have. If you are here today and you've put off doing business with God, we are not guaranteed too much longer before you find out for sure. And I'm not talking the old word game we play, right? Well, if I'm wrong as a Christian, I'll die, go into oblivion, and never know. But if you're wrong, you'll die, you'll go to hell, so it's better you listen to me. No, look around you now. There is a God. You've got to be mentally backwards. Your brain ain't right. If you can look at what Darwin wrote, read his book. Pastor, you're not supposed to tell people to read Darwin. Read it! You will find with him all the insecurity, all of the guessing, all of the doubting. He himself saying, this is just a theory I'll never be able to prove. And what has humanistic man done? They have taken it. When we say humanistic man, you know who really led the charge on that? The devil. Amen. Eat up, my children. The father of lies has fed you again. Eat up. Yes. Monkeys become people. Yes. Oh, what? Yes, yes. See, the turtle becomes the tortoise. The tortoise becomes the bird. Here you go. There's no God. Good boy. Well, how do we figure out what's going on with morality? Here's a man named Sigmund Freud who used to experiment with the molestation of little boys. Let's laud him and let's lift him up in the public school education system. Oh, yay. If you believe that stuff, you got a problem. If we've got issues with the systemic things around here at the system, you need to start with that one. Because it's weird what they keep producing. Well, you know, there's all these rich millionaire entertainers. Yeah, yeah. Let's turn on the news and find out more about these guys. You always said, you always scoffed at your pastor. They're not like that. Oh, yes, they are. Well, Elvis had himself a gospel record. Elvis had himself an underage girlfriend, too. Come on. The father of lies, he breathes these things. And we laugh and we scoff. And we choose to be simple. But one day, when we close our eyes here for the last time, we will open them in a reality that cannot be argued with. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs also that Psalms, God's word is settled in heaven. We live in a world of debate. Maybe you can get to heaven by giving a ton of money. As much as that would benefit us, that ain't going to do you any good. Maybe if somebody burns candles and prays for me. Nope. Listen, if God's love, if God's forgiveness can be purchased with wax, Jesus Christ never would have had it gotten on a cross. What about perfect church attendance? Again, why go to the cross? Just show up to a building. Right? Well, how about work in the church? If I do enough, if I build an entire wing to the church, do I get to go to heaven? Man, if nails and wood would have done it, he wouldn't have had to use that nails and woods for himself. There's a calamity waiting. If we are here today and we do not know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we've never considered the wrong we've done, our responsibility to it, and then turned and repented of that sin and believed that Jesus died on the cross, I pray you do that today. Because what a hot mess is waiting. And for those of us that are saved, there's many a thing that'll be pounded from pulpits across the country. God's kind of pulpits. And there will be people that will hear those truths and they'll go, don't be that person. I'll tell you this like I've told you before. You think I'm wrong, you get in that book and you find out for sure. And if you come at me, you better come at me with that book. Because I'll tell you right now, that's where I'm going to go hide. So I got to be done. I'm sorry, but I talked to someone recently. They did that to me. You just got a verse for everything. Well, that's where my everything comes from. That's where I get it. That's where I fight. I mean, you've come to the dairy looking for hammers and nails. This is what I got. Well, you don't have any beef over there? No, this is a produce stand. What are you doing? You know, I don't go over to Dennis's section at the grocery store that keeps all nice. Still the best looking section, man. I'm not trying to lift you up, but you go to some places and you're like, where are these things? You go down there, man, that's the only, I don't want to be mean either, but that's the only area over there I find that's always on point. I don't go over to Brother Dennis and say, hey, Brother Dennis, where's the Triscuits? Just don't do it. Can I call my Consumers Energy and say, hey, I got a problem with my health insurance bill? You come to a Christian. If a Christian is trying to figure out what God has to say, what do? We deal in the only thing we got. That's all I got. All right, the kids got it. We used to watch that video, that duck song. Remember the duck story, kids? Goes up to the lemonade stand asking for grapes. Never any grapes at the lemonade stand. I can't tell you much about the opinions of men. I can't tell you much about the thoughts of these new philosophers in theology. I just tell you that. So if I'm wrong, that's how you got to speak to me. And you could be a little tough. I could take it. But you better believe when I get up there and I'm tough, that's why I'm tough. We must obey the word. Not choosing to be simple, not choosing to be foolish, and definitely never wanting to be a scorner. Because calamity will come of it. And eternity is long. Heavenly Father, oh how desperately, desperately thankful we are for your grace. Because Lord, that's what it is, it's grace. We deserve punishment. We are a rowdy bunch. We're negative towards the things that you have for us. We reject it naturally. And Father, we don't want to have anything to do with it because of the rules, the laws. And Lord, even in the rules and the laws, it's proof that we didn't write it. You did. Because what man would ever deny himself the things that you've told us was wrong? But Lord, how right you are. Lord, we know there's an eternal effect. But Father, we also see the temporal, the now things that affect us when we do these terrible things you've told us not to. So Lord, I pray that you chastise us. That Lord, if there be anybody here who needs salvation, that Lord, you bring them to repentance. And that Lord, you keep our hearts soft and malleable in your hands as the word is presented to us. And Lord, help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as you try to put us where we ought to be. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.